You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Hello, everyone. I'm looking for the caller. David, if you put... It's not on my screen, but you can put it on in just a few minutes. It doesn't appear on the screen, so I just want you to know. Now, the second part of my program, the first part was all about knowledge, the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil, both bad. No, but I made my point. There's a right way of learning and a wrong way of learning. So I wrote a five-page article, let me see, 1962. It's called The Letter Killeth, The Poison in the Word of Authority. And I'm opening my program thus. Here it is, 1962. Now, I'm not going to keep to the contents on my screen, which is 1962 or thereabouts. But you've got to see, if you don't mind, let me just open the subject a little bit, which is an extension of my subject about the danger of study. Not that you shouldn't, because I've got a desktop full of old pamphlets I've got a whole library of books. I never buy a book, they just come. Science books, everything. Flick, 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 flick. And when I flick through it, I look at it. When I'm interested in a thing, I'll pick up the book and I don't want to read it. I want to flick the pages and speed read a whole page in a matter of a few seconds to see what stands out. I do recommend that when you go, listen, the New Testament has only a half an hour of Jesus' words, if you read it, just half an hour. It's plenty there. So, when I said in the early part of the program, an example, love your enemy, what does it mean to you? Does it make sense that you should kiss your butt of your enemy and appease him and think of that as love and not see at it what it really is in your intellect? Your intellect is a beautiful thing. I keep saying over and over again, your brain is a beautiful thing or it is evil, depending upon who is master. Are you coming from within? Or are you learning, rote learning from the outside and not questioning authority? You have it, your right to question authority. You have a right to question the school system. I have the right to look at science and say, what the hell do you mean by the infinitely hot singularity? Okay? The Bible says, let me just make a point. In the beginning, there was a void. What is a void? You can't imagine. It must be very, very cold. But cold has no bottom. And this expanse, I don't know if you can explain expanse. But in the beginning, there was the void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. That was a way of saying something. I got a picture of that. In the beginning, there was nothing. Void. Cold. So cold, there's no heat. Actually, if you want to know the truth about hot and cold, there's only thing is a degree. Coldness does not exist. It doesn't really exist. It's only coldness is a degree of the lack of heat. So where does the heat come from? It comes from a singularity, they say. And in the beginning, there was the void. It is still the beginning as a void. It's called a singularity. Where did it come from? Well, nobody will talk about that. Nobody will talk about it. Where did this hot thing appear? It's almost the same as what the Bible says. In the beginning there was the void, and darkness was in the deep. And God said, let there be light, bang, as heat, into the cold. Now I can make a whole story from that. You make it, man.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Hello. Welcome once again to the program. I was talking to try to set up a way of trying to show you how important it is to see things for yourself, and how that magic of being able to see and to know without knowing why you know it, and not feel confident, and to trust what you know and have no anxiety over it, and the thing that you know, for example. The example I gave is in the first hour and in the first few minutes of this program is when you open the scripture. Let's take the scripture because I like to use that because you can do a lot with scripture and interpretations. And I can do a lot with science too. I may get to that. But what does it mean to love your enemy? That's what I said in the opening part of this program. Does it mean kiss his butt? Excuse the expression, but I get your attention. Does it mean to say, love him, and give yourself to him, thinking that if you give him yourself, and give in, and go along, and get along, like your administration does with Russia and Iran, see? And so, they're only creating a war. They may be from those people. They may be bought and paid for. Who knows? Or they might just be ignorant, stupid, and thinking, "Oh, I've been to church, and I'm taught to love my enemy." And your enemy takes advantage of you, and your enemy keeps on taking advantage of you. And when you get upset, you feel guilty. And when you feel guilty, you would feel guilty when you're angry with somebody. Then emphasizes the need to love him more, because something says inside you have to love him more. Otherwise, you try to love him more, and he's very pleased for a moment, and then you find that he's taking advantage of you again. He hasn't got any better; he's got worse. And you think, well, maybe I haven't, and it goes on like that. You can't stop, and you become a slave. That's what it means to love your enemy in a wrong way. But the Bible doesn't mean that. If you read it with intuition, love your enemy means this. Now listen carefully. Listen carefully. It means the following. Love, don't hate your enemy. Love, don't hate your adversary. Love, don't hate anybody. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Whoops! That's a Now you put those together. How many people could put that together like that? You can. I'm not the only person. You see, because I don't read your Bible like you do, stupid people. Stupefied people. Sorry. Because you're basically good people and you want to be a good Christian or Jew. There's only two religions in the world that lead to something. Judeo-Christian philosophy. But you've got to be careful of your poisonous teachers. So I wrote an article, The Letter Killeth. And it's part three that's up there on my screen. I may read that some to you just in a few minutes. The poison in the word of authority. Do not trust your authority, except that he's gracious. And you see, and he helps you to see, and not pushes you into learning it and playing it back and memorizing it. So let me get back to my education, which it actually has the meaning. I haven't looked whether it comes from Latin or Greek. I don't care. I only care one thing. I don't care where it came from. Oh, there it is. Education means educere, bringing forth from within. They had it. All right, so now, in order for you to have an education, you need to understand. Let's talk with religion, because religion shouldn't need a Bible, but it's good to have it. Don't get me wrong. It is the history of the whole world, the magic of it. That is, the Bible is one of the most beautiful books there is. But you've got to appreciate it. You can't just read it all the way through. You can if you want to. And then stand there and get an applause because you memorized the whole thing in a very theatrical way. Hey! Hey, by the way, what do I do to this? It's no good. Useless. I can't tell you a whole lot about the Bible. But what I've got is magical. Okay? So, love your enemy means, now let me give you, if you want an example, would you like an example? Okay, you love your children, right? And you give them bicycles and stuff. Okay? And it gives you a little glow to see them happy. That's not love. That's you giving them to get a feeling of goodness. But you're spoiling your kids. They didn't have to work for it. You get the gift, the gist of it. You have a man who's retired from business. And he says to himself, I made it, and I'm glad it's all over. Doing business in America is really bad, and it's true. It's the world around in America is not good. It's not good. There's good people out there, but you can agree with me that something's gone terribly wrong. And so, give me the example. So the man is now doesn't have a business anymore. And he gives his kids nice things. But then they become dependent on him. And, well, he's happy to give more until they don't have to earn it. Goodbye to the kids. It's all over. Become codependent. And then pretty soon they have to have more and more, but they haven't got anything in them to get more and more themselves. They have to take it from you. I remember two sons murdered their father for his money. They murdered him. I remember. I just know. I don't know who they are. I just remember that's what happens. The children grow up to be to beg and to be clever and to be smart and to seduce people to get things what they want. Or steal. Because they have entitlement. You know, entitlement is, you got lots of people on entitlement. They get a living from your dying. And there's more of them and less of you. After all, you got so many taxes, you want to leave the country, or you don't want to work at all. So it's so cruel. Well, that's because you love somebody, but you're loving the enemy inside the kid. The kid needs to have a little world of hard luck. That's it. I've got a grandchild. And this one is a great grandchild. He doesn't want you to give him anything. He wants to earn it. Since he was a little kid, he wants to earn a quarter. He loves to earn a quarter. He does things. He's very honest. He finds a quarter, gives it to you. Is this yours? And you say thank you. But he doesn't like anybody to give him anything. He wants to earn it. And when he earns it, he treasures it. And he can build things like you wouldn't believe it. Like he has a span of attention for 6 hours. He built something. Some of those big monsters in the movies, and they have little pieces put together. And I never did see those movies. I see the trailers of them. And so, by the point, he takes those little tiny pieces and put them together. And about 3 or 4 hours later, he's done it. And he's only 2 or 3. See, that's magical. So, the important thing is to earn your own living. You should get your sweat, but you get your life in the sweat of your brow. See, the second commandment given to because you have done these things, dust thou art and dust thou shalt return. And you can put your hands into the ground, it will not yield anything to you. Basically. I don't remember the exact words for that. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. Seek first. There's a purpose. But when you're broken, when you're demoralized, you've lost the secret of heaven thing, the purpose of the heaven, and then you find yourself, remember I said a few minutes ago, the brain is beautiful or evil, depending upon who is master. So what you need to do in educating a kid is let him find out what he loves to do and just encourage it. Provide for it. And give him all kinds of things to memorize and homework. Let him follow his heart's desire. That's what happened to me. So I've written books, thousands and thousands of pamphlets, thousands of lectures, and everything, nothing was prepared. I can remember the first time I was giving a lecture to an organization. And I was in my early stages of understanding, you know, what makes people, you know, compulsive, hypnotic. That's where I began. And so, in my mind, over and over again, I see myself rehearsing. And I said, no, that's not good. Something's wrong with that. And then I pushed it aside, and it starts again. And I'm driving the car on the way to it, and it comes again to me, and starts to think, my mind starts to think for me, how should I start my discussion on the subject of that I'm using, I'm talking about today, or any other day. It was all about the one thing anyways. The problem you have is the word of the poison in the word of authority. That's your sickness. The poison in the word of your authority, your mother, your father, the poison in it will kill you, will slowly eat you away. And other people on the way, once you accept that pressure, rebel or conform. I'm going to come back to my point in a minute. Rebel or conform, you have either have no understanding, or you think you have understanding, or you've got is rote knowledge, and you have no understanding, or knowledge and no common sense. So where was I with the other one? So when I got to the place where I have to speak, I said, you know what, when I was coming here, my mind was telling me over and over again, you know, how should I begin the program? So I thought I'd just begin the program by telling you that's what I did. And then I made a whole lecture about how bad it is to think ahead of time when you don't know what the circumstance is. See, that's how important it is. Your circumstance is very important. If you make up something, you can say it to somebody, but it doesn't apply at the moment, you're finished. So let me just finish here now with that. Let me go over this again, if you don't mind.
Let me enter in.
Yes.
Can I enter in?
Yes. Go ahead, David.
Well, you know, I went to public school.
Yes.
And after about the fourth or fifth grade, I started to wonder, why was I having to learn the things that they were trying to teach me? That was the first thing.
Yes.
I thought, what is all the purpose of all this? Because the first thing that I realized is that I couldn't connect the dots. Like, what meaning does this have for me in my life? And actually, at that point, something prevented me from digesting whatever they were telling me. I couldn't learn at that point.
Good for you.
Something protected me, honestly, because I could see the students that were the achievers, and I knew that I didn't want to be like them, because they were always, you know, the teacher's pet, so to speak.
That's right. It depends on praise.
Yeah, but not only that, but you see, they got special privileges because they were conformists.
Sure.
And I couldn't do that. And as a matter of fact, you know that my mother had to come to school quite often to get me out of the dean's office. It wasn't because I was bad. It was because I had superior logic to my teachers. And so when we would get into a topic, I would begin to question them, like, how do you know that's true? You know how you've talked about that for so many years.
Sure.
How do you know that 1 + 1 = 2?
That's because they
told me. My teacher taught me that. So I would question all of these things, and they would send me to the dean's office quite often.
You remember how I blew a guy way off on the stage with that particular question, one-on-one.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just interesting to note that I had to live. It was almost like, I hate to say it, I don't want to compare it to the, but there was a passion that I had to live every day of my life thinking that because I wasn't conforming, that I wasn't ever going to get anywhere in life.
Oh, you got it right on the money.
I tell you, it was hard. It was hard because I saw other people getting the things that achievement rewards you with, and I couldn't get those things.
It will kill you.
Yeah.
It will make you a dead person.
Yep.
But you look like you're alive. The real life is what gave you the life. And that's what I keep saying, the way I say it every time. The brain is beautiful or evil, depending on who is master. Is that correct?
Yeah. You know, after getting out of high school, I was still 17, and I started working with guys that were building houses. It was for about 5 years I did that. And
no wonder you can do all those
things. Yeah. I built million-dollar homes down in Malibu.
I didn't know that.
Sure, I was the finished guy. They had me go up in these three-story, these three-story buildings and put parquet on the ceilings of these mansions.
Because I'm away such a long time. You and your mother was there, so.
I would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and wait for a guy to pick me up, and we would go from one job site to another. And I did framing for a while.
I never told you all that.
I made money and I paid my own way, but I knew I had to do something with my hands. I thought that was important. And so I did that. And then 5 years after that, I thought, you know, I like what my dad's doing. And I thought, what better life can you have than to see other people have their lives get better? So that's where I kind of found my passion, I guess, my true passion of life was to understand what you were teaching and help other people.
Well, your first lesson is how to be a father. That's one of the main things. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
When you get married, that's the important. Men should know that the most important thing in their life is when they get married, how you deal with pressure. Anyway,
that's just a short history of my life.
That's very neat. Okay, thank you, David. I appreciate that. Let me talk to Jennifer.
Here she comes.
Is Jennifer still there?
Yes.
Hello, Jennifer. I'm sorry to...
Hello. Hi. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
What was I going to say?
How old are you?
I'm sick. Almost in March, I'll be 68.
You sound like you're six. Why do you sound like you're 6 years old?
I don't know.
Why are you calling?
Well, I'm having trouble with the mental health system, and I want to stop all their medicines and drugs and live my own life.
That's a very sweet thing. But you're stuck in that. Why are you stuck in that place? Is it you don't have any skills, anything? You don't have any skills?
The only thing I know is sewing. And that hasn't gotten me very far.
Well, I see. But you sound intelligent to me. You sound intelligent. You sound like a little girl that understands these things. How did you get in the mental hospital?
My husband's father put me in a mental hospital right after my son was born.
How old were you then?
I was 25.
And have you been in the mental hospital all those years?
In and out, yes.
And what puts you in?
Well, my husband, maybe he was thinking of not staying married to me. And
are you have a husband presently?
I did have one.
And then he divorced you?
Yes, I was listening to you, and I was meditating then, and he didn't like it. He hid the book on me and the record. And
well, we're going back a long way, aren't we? When you mention records, you're going back a long, long way.
Yeah, 1972, and you had 15 minutes on the air.
Yeah, well, wow.
Yeah, and I listen to you every night, and my husband heard you because he was in the other room. He was in the bedroom, and he could hear the program when I was recording it. And so he heard some of it, and I always thought, I always hoped he would like it, you know.
But he didn't. He didn't like it.
No, he didn't.
I understand it. So he punished you?
No, he didn't really punish me, but he, you know, he found another lady and he dropped me and went to her.
Well, let me see. I have never had a call like this before. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with you.
Yeah, I know. I know.
What is your most pressing problem? Is the drugs? Is the drugs the problem?
Yeah.
What happens when you get out? I mean, you're in and out. So.
Well, I was not on any medication at all for 5 years.
I mean, outside, 5 years outside the mental hospital, are you speaking about
that? Yeah, I was renting a room in a man's house.
And what were you doing? Were you making a living?
No, I got SSI, but I started sewing, making things, and going door to door trying to sell the things.
And now, who's put you back into the hospital now? How did you get back? Because you sound very intelligent. I mean, you do. No, don't go away. We're going to make a break. Wait. Just hold the line. Never. Have you called before?
Yes, I've called.
I don't remember.
Years.
I don't remember this tone of. You do, David. You want to jump in here? If you want to, you can. I'm talking to
my... Well, if I remember correctly, you're taking care of your father for a while? Jennifer, can you hear me now?
Yes.
For a long time, you were taking care of your father. Is that correct?
Yes. He now lives in a care home.
Okay, but for that period of time, that's when you were not in the mental institution, right?
Yes, I was living in the backyard in a tent, in his backyard.
In a tent?
In a tent.
Okay, well, you can have her back, Dad.
All right. So, and how old are you, 60?
Almost 68.
So you do have a skill. And you are, and you're on welfare?
Yeah, yes, sir.
But why are you? You're impoverished. I know. But
yeah,
how is it you enter into this institution?
Well, the police put me in the mental hospital. In a mental hospital.
Why did they do? What cause was there for that?
Well, I thought someone had stolen my computer, but it ends up that wasn't stolen.
Oh, I see.
And I stopped my...
Where did you get the money for the computer?
Oh, I saved up and I bought it in the summertime.
I see. Okay, that's reasonable. Good. Well, but what would you achieve by the computer? Did you see any reason why it could advance you in some way? Or
yes.
Did you think you just wanted a computer for whatever other reason?
Well, I wanted it to listen to your program and also...
I see.
...different websites, Fox News and other websites.
So,
thought I could get an online business, but it never came to that.
Could you not learn something from a computer, learn a trade or a skill or something from it, and otherwise, other than just listening to my program?
I don't know.
Well, I think you really can. I don't know about years ago, but if you do you have a computer now?
I have a laptop, and I haven't got internet yet.
Well, I suggest that you use, while you're in that institution, there are skills that you can learn as you choose them, without pressure. Pardon?
Yeah.
Oh, you're not in the institution anymore?
I'm not in that one. What they got is, what do you call it, it's like a care home. It's a government-run...
So it's not an institution. I would spend my time... If you are good at a good seamstress, if you can develop that skill and find pieces of clothing or you know... Hold a second.
To Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Yes, Jennifer, I think there's a lot of good in you and intelligence. And for listening to me all these years and not getting any further than you are, there's something's amiss. And I'm not quite sure what that is. But I want you to call me back. Since you've got a computer, you'll call me back. But my parting thoughts are, you've got lots of common sense. You got it. And you need to learn a skill. And you mentioned the seamstress. And I would suggest that you find, lots of people have, you go to the local store and for the store that you can buy, that people give their things away. Can't remember what you call it. And you get old clothes and old cloth, or but not necessarily old, and make things with it. Be creative. Because you have an income, basically, where you are. But the point is, you need to be good at something. And to be good at something, you have to do it over and over again and enjoy what you're doing. See, the only way you can be released and to be happy is to create something and make it for the world around you, make something beautiful. I don't know how you do it, but it seems like you need to find something you can do that doesn't cost so much to keep up, but you can do better than anybody else. And so use your time to having a skill of some kind. And you mentioned, you know, you're good at sewing, but this may not be good enough just to sew. You got your computer, and there's lots you can learn from that computer. Lots of things you can learn. All you have to do is look it up. Find something to be interested in that's practical where you are. Otherwise, there's no hope for you to have a life. And you have to have the courage. You can't sit around twiddling your thumbs. I see inside you that you're a soulful person. Please listen to me and start to do something. I wish you had called before the way we are linked at this moment. I don't remember you. My son has a good memory. He remembers you. But do something that you like to do. Find something you'd love to do. And something simple. And then work at it, work at it, work at it until it's polished. And then people will say, oh, that's interesting. How much? I'd like one like that. And then you stop to sell them. Do you understand that? You have to make something. You have to do something. You just can't allow yourself to be, you know, supported by...
Hey, Dad.
Yes.
Arlene called in, and yes. She said that Jennifer could go to a dry cleaner because they often have people that repair things at dry cleaners.
What a great idea.
And so she said, take some of her work and show it to a couple of dry cleaners around town.
Are you on the radio with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. So, Jennifer, listen to what my son's saying to you.
Yeah. She heard it.
Oh, she did. Okay. Repeat it. What did my son say just now?
He said, we're going to go to the dry cleaners in town and ask about alterations.
Yes, that's right. And so, let me see, but you have to have one thing. You have to come in with a stronger voice.
Confidence.
You know, confidence, yes. You got it. You're way ahead of me. You're way ahead of me. Listen to your voice. He's saying, please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me. Do you understand? So, excuse me, but I could help you. And I can do it very reasonably. I know you've got little things that has to be done, buttons sewed on, things like that. And if they look at you, if you look at them with confidence, I would like to be able to have a job here. I've got a job for me. Thank you. Mm-hmm. If you do that, maybe the first one doesn't do it, and maybe the second one doesn't do it. Or maybe the third one will. You have to practice how you approach a situation, don't you? It's all part of the lifestyle. So call me again one day, will you?
Okay. I liked your exorcism on that lady this weekend.
Oh, yes. You saw it on.
It was quite scary, but it was really beautiful the way you handled it.
Yes. Jennifer's talking about what's on the screen right now on the Sunday morning conversations. It was the funniest. Actually, it was really funny. We had a lot of fun. But then there was something that wasn't so funny. There was a huge exorcism. Huge. What a contrast to the fun we were having in understanding the certain things. You go to my website, FHU.com, FHU.com, and go to your right away, you can see Sunday morning conversations playing 24 hours a day. That particular one is one of the most substantial, so valuable ones I've ever done. Okay, so, and it doesn't cost anything to watch. but give a donation if you can afford it. Thank you so much. All right. So now, I started to read a little bit, so we're coming to the end of my talkie time, my discussions with you. And the first hour is going to be played third hour, because usually the first hour is the best sometimes, mostly it is, and we don't want you to miss it. Because many people take the 3 hours, and many people take the 2 hours, and sometimes they take 1 hour. It depends on the station that you're listening to. And if you like these programs and you only get 1 hour, you might call up and say, can we have the 2 hours? Can we have the 3 hours? And they might consider it. Say, all you have to do is go to your station, or a local radio station where you're listening. And if you're driving in a car and you don't know where a radio station is, where you are, then you can go to my app store. It's, I've got it on my screen here somewhere. Let me see here. Oh, here it is, okay. You can go to FHU.com, FHU.com, Foundation of Human Understanding. And you can get a meditation for no cost, 7-minute meditation, and that will help you to overcome a problem. At the very roots of it. And let me see. And then there's a Cure Stress app at iTunes Store, okay? And then there's a Google Play one, which is, what does it mean there? Google Play Store. I know, but there it says paid, the paying one includes. I get it. It's on my screen. What he's saying, not very clearly, is that if you get the paid meditation, the one that you pay, you'll get the 7-minute meditation plus a whole lot of other stuff, which is very valuable. But the 7-minute meditation by itself is no charge, because it may be all you need. And so you can download it on your Android or your iPhone. That is very valuable. And see what works. It's so simple and beautiful. So simple. No pressure. The whole idea is sit still, close your eyes. What do you see when your eyes are closed? Well, I see little speckles moving across the screen. That's good. Okay, so if you don't fall asleep, just... Because that's when you go to sleep, when you close your eyes. Usually, if you close your eyes for a period of time, the idea is you go to sleep. No, I want you to stay wide awake. I don't want you to struggle. I don't need your help. All I need, I want you to do something very simple. And that is, close your eyes and look at your eyelids. And it's looking at your eyelids from the inside. Okay, now why do I do that? Well, it results in, when you look at the screen of your mind and your eyes are closed, the sunlight and the lighting around you disappears. And especially if you do it in the darkness where there's no light, you can still see a light shining on your eyelids from within. And if you can see that, it means you're standing back. Your consciousness, your soul, your intuitive spirit has disconnected from your monkey brain. Remember what I said. The brain is beautiful or evil, depending upon who's the master. Okay? So we're going to move towards the master who created the universe, and he's within us. The kingdom of heaven is within us. So here we go. Close your eyes. Look at your eyelids. Okay? And then make sure the room's dark if you want to, so you don't mistake one for the other, right? So continue. Now, if you can say, yes, I see little pixels moving across the screen of the mind, you know, with a background, maybe like a universe in the background, or whatever it is, it just, there's different shapes and sizes that move across. What you're really doing is looking at your brain. You're actually looking at the surface of your brain. But you're the person that's doing the observation. In other words, the light is shining through you, onto the screen of the mind. And those little pixels that you see moving are like a little thumb drive into your computer. But you can't read what it means. You're only watching it, the magic of it. And now I want you to be aware of the first finger of your right hand. Okay, beware. Keep your eyes closed. Keep looking at the pixels crossing the screen of your mind, right? Now be aware of your right hand. See? And the first finger of your right hand. Okay? It tingles. Does it tingle? Say yes to yourself. Because you're giving it attention, but no effort. Please, no effort. Please, no effort. Please, no effort. Just be aware that your finger is there. Just be aware that the finger is there. And then all of a sudden the finger tingles. It tingles, see? Now, say yes if it tingles, okay, to yourself. And now go to the next finger, okay? And now that tingles too. The second finger tingles, the third finger tingles. And you keep changing fingers until you get the pinky finger. And then then you have the thumb and start again. Be aware of your thumb, it tingles. The first finger, it tingles. Be aware of in the middle of your forehead, watch it. Watch the screen of your mind. Watch it, watch it, watch it. Watch the screen of your mind passing, but there's no thoughts. Your thoughts are left behind. You can't think of thoughts. The thoughts are in your brain, see? And you're separate from those thoughts. And therefore, they cannot invade your soul. But now something magical is happening. Now something magical is happening because the light that's shining through you is now, you've now become a lens, like a lens. And like the light is shining through the lens onto the screen of your mind, which are the pixels, which then in turn program your mind from within. And if you do that, you'll find redemption there. I promise you, at the end of that, redemption is automatically there. Be still and know has been accomplished. Did you follow that, ladies and gentlemen? That little meditation I worked with just a few moments ago. If you would like to hear that again, there's something quite similar is available on my website, fhu.com. F for Fanny. H for Harry, U for understanding. Okay. FHU.com. That's it. Very simple. And then you go to that website and you can download that 7-minute meditation. See, I only did it for 5 minutes here or 4 minutes here. There's maybe a little bit more on there than just what I spoke about. But if you want to hear this program again, make sure you record it. Now, they'll take a recording. You can record the whole thing and just take out this one thing that you heard just a few minutes ago. Because it's always been, my program is being refed. There's archives, and then you can get a copy of it if you want to. Get a copy of the program. The program number is, what is it? It's the second hour, isn't it? Second hour is for 8551, this particular one. The first hour is K550. The second program, which is this one, is 8551. And that way, it doesn't cost much to get that. You can just get the meditation one for free. But this one's a bit different. I kind of liked it a little better than my other one. So if you want to listen, if you just go to the meditation, to my website, FHU.com. You can download it on your iPhone, see, or your Android, and no charge. Please support the program, though, if it works for you. It took money to bring you to this to this program. It took money to hold it in place for other people. Please support my program with gracious amount of money for the future of our country and the future of people seeking our freedom.
Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Hello, here I am again. This is something I should I would have preferred to start the program with, but just let me. I did mention it, and then I got away with it, and you know, the program became what it is. But I said I wrote in 1962 an article, 5 pages, which you could, may be able to get on my website. It's called The Letter Killeth, Part 3, The Poison and the Word of Authority. If it's not on my website, when you go to the website and you see books, then you see booklets and pamphlets, and you have names on there. And some of the names I talk about, like I'm talking about this one, which may not be up there, yet. The Letter Killeth, you look for that. Or looking for the poison and the word of authority. Then, let me read a little bit of you, so this is what I read. This is towards the end of the program, so I'm going to read something. The entire thrust of our existence, is, I'm a young man here. I'm just writing for the first, well, not for the first time, because I already wrote the book. Yeah. How to Conquer Negative Emotions, and I wrote the book Be Still and Know, you know, that sort of thing. And anyway, the entire thrust of our existence is the struggle to be sure of ourselves, to be confident, to have something we call faith in ourselves. But in the midst of all of our huffing and puffing, we forget to ask how we lost that faith in the first place. Our fear and uncertainty causes us to compensate through our own thoughts. That's what we think they are, their own thoughts. Through knowledge, in other words. But how do you know that knowledge is right? See, that's the question. The ego enters into the relationship with knowledge, deceived in its belief that through knowing it can become more certain. So you've got to be careful of this learning thing. I'm coming right back to it. This is the opening salvo of this poison in the word of authority. Little do we know how to be secure and doubtful we are actually going to become when we enter the imaginational world of knowledge. Little do we know how insecure and doubtful we actually will become when we enter the imagination world of knowledge. Man's problem is that he reacts and responds to and accepts what people, especially experts, say. The secret reason for choosing to leave behind reality and the essence of common sense is the desire to know oneself as God, all-powerful. See, it's all about you then, not about the purpose of life and the unfolding of what the purpose, what story your life will have. See, so this is the original sin. By taking to thought and worry and living in the past and the future, we compound that original sin of pride. We compound it. As long as the ego, your pride, is willful. Ooh, willful, it's got energy anger in it, see. It will become active in thought, drawing through itself, drawing thought to itself. to those thoughts which are dangerous. By living through thought that are coming from, now let me say this one more time, I've got it on a piece of paper. The brain is beautiful, or it's evil, or you've got conflict from it because you're caught between the two. But the brain basically is beautiful or evil all the way through. It depends on how far you go with one or the other. The brain is more beautiful or more evil depending upon who is master. All right. So as long as the ego is willful, it will become active. Thought will become active and drawing through itself from the wrong place. By living through thought, the ego continues to reject reality. It continues to trust it itself and is called sin or doubt. You're trusting the spoken word spoken to you. It comes to you as memorized information, pressured into you, or through a too strong desire to achieve. See, you leave behind intuition and you gobble up verses and chapters and all kinds of words, and you feel like you're becoming something when you're not. You cannot give up living in thoughts once it starts. Thinking only in words until you're ready to give up your pride. Pride is bound to be the treadmill of knowing itself only through the process of thinking and imagining. So I'm not going to talk any more about that. That is what I wrote, and there's five more pages of this. There's only one page. And I thought just, it's there. The subject matter, basically, of my program this evening is roughly that, but much. So if you want to hear the program again, if you want to, stay tuned, because it begins again. Now the first hour is going to be played as the third hour. And that way you're likely to have a whole program and enjoy it that stays together. If you have 2 hours, then you have 2 hours. If you have 1 hour, and you want to hear the whole 3 hours, then you need to go to my website and download it on your iPhone. Download it on the app so you can follow me wherever I am. And watch even Sunday morning conversations, which I encourage you, the lady who had a gentle talk, gentle voice, and been in mental institutions a long time. She was an intelligent lady. It's there. The asking, the sweetness is there. And so she still has time to fulfill. And I thank the lady who called and made a point of, you know, going to where they dry clean and offer her services as a person who sews up things. And that's what she needs to do, and practice going from one place to another until someone says, yes, I'll give you a try. All right. Thank you very much for listening. But thank you. I'll be right back. Now, here we are. I'll be back. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, please, not so good today. Had a rough day. Had a rough yesterday. And a rough day before. And things you don't know, my daughter as well, thank you very much. She survived the operation. But please, these things on my mind. I do the program just the same. They may not look good, but do I hope you appreciate it. Support my program. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. And then you can call my office if you want to and order something. It's 800-877-3227. 800-877-3227. And remember, the website itself is fhu.com. You can do business with us there. Thank you.